Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jade Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. I just finished up a interview thingy for a job next year and played some Monpok, and I watched Doom Patrol to get the taste of Justice League out of my brain.
Doom Patrol is the mouthwash after watching the Snyder Cut, I take it?
Yeah, I mean, it's so joyless. And then, like, Doom Patrol is just like, fuck it, it's fun. And it even has Cyborg. Doom Patrol, Cyborg is one of the main characters on Doom Patrol. And he's a very enjoyable character.
Yeah, I mean, Cyborg
and fun
in the Snyder Cut is not really... Yeah, honestly, I don't know why they added him as a character.
He has become very popular because of Teen Titans becoming popular. When they did the DC reboot, one of the things they did was that Cyborg was the world's greatest superhero, and that, like, Superman and them were new superheroes, and he was, like, the veteran. And so they used him as, like, a core character in their reboot of the universe, which has, since they did that, since Justice League was filmed, DC Comics has rebooted their universe twice more.
Okay.
They fucked up, Jay. They were like, they basically had the, like, executives making bad decisions, and then the writers had to deal with it, and then the sales plummeted, and I think one of them, the way they explained it was that Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen, like, was fucking around trying to fix things, and he was like, why don't things go well? And the only thing Dr. Manhattan couldn't, like, omnipotent was Superman, and he was eventually inspired by Superman to put things back the way they were, because the reason Dr. Manhattan couldn't predict Superman is because he's so inspiring. I think. Someone can tell me I'm wrong on that, but that's the broad strokes I got from it, because DC needs to sort itself out.
Oh, okay. I will agree with that.
I'm sorry. Universal reboots are a bad idea. And we talked about reboots last episode, where it's Marvel will be like, oh, Daredevil released his secret identity, and we want to change that, so what's a storyline that can just change this one thing about Daredevil?
Yeah. So, do you like Dr. Manhattan as a character?
Yes. Specifically, I like his role in Watchmen, where he is this, like, terrifying, godlike character that nobody really understands. And that, like, he's benevolent, but you wouldn't realize it by looking at him sometimes. I had this... From the HBO show, I had some conversations where I was like, Dr. Manhattan is like if a human became a god, but they put themselves back together wrong, because I think that's part of his problem, is that he lost his humanity when he reassembled his own body.
He's one of my favorite characters. I like him a lot. I think he's really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And like the fact that he makes you think differently about time, and the fact that he's kind of like, Have you ever read stories where, like, they talk about how gods or God, you know, the God, they will, like, try to fix things and make them worse, and so they decide their best choice is to step away like, observe or not observe? I think that's really interesting, right? And, you know, like, from particle physics, we know that even observing something changes its behavior, so it's very cool that you could be like, no, God has to ignore us, or it gets worse. Like,
Yeah. One of my, so there's the scene in the Watchmen comics where, like Dr. Manhattan goes to the moon and he's like, I'm so tired of people.
Mars, but yeah.
Mars, okay. Sure. And one of my favorite Bernie memes from the inauguration, when he's sitting in the chair with his mittens, is they cut him into that panel on Mars where he's like, I'm so tired of people. Perfect.
But anyways, if you have HBO Max, I recommend Doom Patrol. It's very fun. It has Alan Tudyk as a omnipotent narrator supervillain who knows he's in a TV show and he fucks with the heroes in very... I really enjoy it. It's very fun. And it also has, like, the darker tone of a Snyderverse, except it's fun.
Nice. I will have to add it to the stack. We're currently... So Brian hasn't watched season 2 of The Mandalorian, and so we started over on season 1.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Although I do think season 1's better than 2, it's still wonderful.
There are, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great moments in season 2 that I enjoy, but then there's also, I'm worried that they have destroyed the show with how they ended season 2, so.
You mean how they have to tie it into 5 other television shows they're making?
Well.
Or how
no,
it can't, oh, okay.
Basically, maybe, like, yeah. When I was very skeptical of The Mandalorian when it started, because I think that Boba Fett is wildly overrated, and so I was like, you know, it's going to be a stupid show because, you know, it's about stupid people, right? But which again, I guess it just shows like how one-dimensional I am or whatever, because like, why does anyone care about Boba Fett when there are space wizards going on here? And so the way you make The Mandalorian interesting is you add a baby space wizard. And so I have concerns with what's going on with the baby space wizard at the end of season 2, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So good. it is kind of funny, like, how many of my opinions just circle back to the same thing.
It's fair.
Yeah, Brian and I today, we played some, did you ever play any of the Heroes of Might and Magic series?
No, I have not PC gamed until my adult life.
Yeah. I don't know if I would like it if I got into the series just at the end. Maybe I would, but we've been playing Heroes of Might and Magic 7 together, and then we also downloaded the new Magic Arena app on our iPads. And
nice.
So that'll be nice.
I really wish Magic Arena would do like what Pokemon does, where you just get a booster pack code when you buy a booster pack in real life, or the digital version.
Yeah, I told Brian that. Like, we have stacks of the Pokemon cards, and we would have stacks of the Magic ones as well, and it would be nice if they do that, but...
Yeah.
But Wizards of the Coast is just an awful company, and so I don't foresee them doing that.
Yeah, I believe you on that, yeah. And, well, I think it's really cool because, like, the Pokemon trading card game app has become really nice. It's been useful.
Yeah.
I have, the last few years as a teacher, I've been trading students. I just have a bunch of rares I don't want, and they can, like, take rares and leave code cards because they don't want the code cards. And I'm just like, yep, this works.
Nice.
I probably get the better end out of that deal usually, but
whatever. You have to put up those little twerps
in class. Say that about students on a podcast that someone could find one day.
Hey, listen, I'm the one who's saying that you can you know, say that you disagree with me while you're internally nodding your head yes.
You're silly. I don't say that. I like kids. So, anyways.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Let's talk about The Punisher.
Let's.
So
I'm interested to see how our conversation on this goes.
Okay. So I want to say something first before we go into this.
Okay.
So the very end of... So we read Punisher issues 12 through 16, and it is the newest Punisher comic.
Okay.
And at the very end of it, there is a teaser ad for the next Punisher comic called Punisher Soviet. That comic seems to have been canceled quietly, and there have been a few people who think it's because Marvel just doesn't want to use the Punisher anymore because of the association with his symbol and his ideology with certain right-wing groups that are in opposition with other social justice movements. And that is relevant to our current story, but I think it's worth saying that right now, like, the Punisher as a character is a little controversial, like his existence and what people take from him. There's even a bit of that in this comic, right?
Let's dive in a little bit on this, because one of the things I was going to say is, you know, we read that Daredevil comic or arc last time, right? And then we read this Punisher one. And so there's some parts of it that, like, not to get either political or religious or moralistic or whatever, but there's some things about, like, American culture that are just so strange to me. So, for example, I'm reading through this Punisher comic, and, you know, for whatever reason, Americans are pretty okay with pretty graphic violence.
Mm.
And, like, there's scenes in this Punisher comic arc that, if they happened in a movie, I think would probably make it rated R. Maybe it would be a hard 13. I don't know. I'm not a ratings board, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting to me that, like, this pretty graphic violence is okay. And then the next page, it'll come time to say a swear word. And again, they will, you know, use ampersand.
They'll blank it out. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll blank it out. And then, like, God forbid, anything sexual, that would be like, you can have, like, allusions to it or whatever, but, like, there's people will freak out over that way more than, like, the Punisher ramming a knife through someone's head very graphically. So I don't know, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, right, we're, as a culture, we're okay with hyper violence, but we're not okay with saying a no-no word or seeing some boobs.
It would be the end of the world if there were boobs in a Punisher comic,
like,
right?
Not even just nipples, right? Like, I don't know how to... getting into it, yeah. Like, we're okay with hyperviolence. That's just... It is, right? Like,
and it's kind of interesting to me. I was in a... played an MMO, and in my guild, there was a mom who lived in England, and she was talking about raising her teenage son, and she was like, you know, I wouldn't be upset if my son looked at pornography, but if he watched a radar movie where, like, they were, you know, just shooting people up, etc., like, I would be absolutely livid, and we would have a big issue. And so... It's just kind of interesting to me how different, I guess, people view things.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's kind of flipped, right? In most of the world is okay with boobs on TV.
Right, yeah.
And they're okay with, like, cursing, but they're not okay with the hyperviolence. It's a little puritanical, right?
Yes, yeah.
And this comic especially, right? Like, an earlier issue has... they carve a skull logo onto Frank's chest, and they're, like, torturing him and stuff, and it's, like, there's worse things than some boobies. But let's talk about the story.
Okay.
So, do you remember in Secret Empire how the Punisher was, like, Captain America's hitman?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that exists. So, when they made Evil Hydra Cap, Evil Hydra Cap made the Punisher Evil Hydra Punisher. And he was, like, you know, killing criminals for Hydra. Well, he's pissed off about that. And he has been basically hunting all of the, like, Hydra leaders that are left and murdering them. And so this whole story is Punisher wants to kill Zemo. Zemo is the head of Hydra. Zemo runs the country Begalia, which is his, like, they're like, it's my, I'm totally legit, you know, monarch of Bagalia. And so in the earlier issues, Punisher basically invades Bagalia, is captured, is tortured, gets out. And so the story starts with him. He's escaped, and there's people, like, helping him that are other escapees. And they're basically, they're like runaway Hydra goons that help Frank to escape and get a boat. And they, you know, they have a lot of guerrilla tactics where Frank kills people in the jungle. And then, like, they get fuel to fuel up their boat. And then he shoots all of the Hydra guys, like, in the back of the head, basically, and leaves the one guy who isn't actually Hydra alive. And then he comes to New York, and he's, you know, completely a mess. And he is basically continuing his hunt against Zemo. So Zemo has gone to Kingpin, and Zemo's plan is that he's brought in UN, like, soldiers to hide the fact that he's going to have 400 Hydra soldiers with tanks hunting the Punisher. And then his other angle is he has a bunch of supervillains that he's presenting as a new Thunderbolts team. Thunderbolts has always been this idea of, like, it's Suicide Squad, but in Marvel, like, they're bad guys who are doing good guy things. Sometimes it's obvious they're bad guys, and sometimes they, like, wear new costumes to hide their identities. And so Zemo's superhero identity is Citizen V, and he is, like, you know, a heroic swordsman. And so Zemo makes a new Thunderbolts team to also hunt the Punisher. And it's interesting that, like, Kingpin is like, you're an idiot and you need to get the hell out of my city. And basically Kingpin keeps warning Zemo, like, you need to leave because you are a PR nightmare, or you need to stop. You don't come to me in public. And then Zemo goes to him in public. And there's all these moments where Zemo's just like, what are you going to do about it? I'm Zemo. Like, I'm a Baron and I have Hydra and I'm the king of my country. And Kingpin's like, you need to stop ignoring me, which is relevant for the ending. So Punisher is continuing his hunt, and there's just tons of scenes of Punisher killing, killing bad guys. But then he's like, oh, I can't fight these UN soldiers. Black Widow shows up and tries to help him and tell him, oh, these are actually Hydra goons. So we can stop Hydra together. And Frank's like, oh no, you just gave me permission to kill all of them. So he leaves and he's just murdering them. And they're wearing Hydra uniforms under their UN uniforms. So it pretty quickly gets out that they're not really UN, they're Hydra. There's some cool scenes where, like, the old lady who runs the grocery store, like, pretends like she doesn't know who he is, even though she's been giving him free groceries, and he kills them. And, like, it just keeps going. And so he's eventually, like, knocked out. And then Black Widow has assembled a team of, like dark street-level heroes to help him. And so it's Night Thrasher, who is a kid on a skateboard with nightsticks. It's Moon Knight. It is the female Punisher that was, like, a co-star with Frank in a Punisher comic a few years ago. And then Ghost Rider shows up. And basically they are, you know, they're fighting the supervillains and they're fighting the Hydra guys, and it just keeps on going, and it's big, like, lots of fighting that, you know, is cool and epic, very bloody and violent. And eventually what happens is that Ghost and Zemo kidnap the female Punisher, who's, you know, Frank's friend, Rachel. Like, she's probably in the Punisher's history, she's probably, like, up there with, like, top three or four friends that he actually has. So Zemo and Ghost get away with Rachel, and it leads to, you know, like, big epic showdown where Ghost Rider, like, drives him up to the Fisk Tower, where they do this big fight with Zemo, and Zemo just keeps on stabbing Punisher in different places, and he's like, I'm not gonna stop. There's one scene where he like tries to stab Zemo with the sword that's through his own chest. It's ridiculous. And So the big fight keeps going, and eventually Zemo and Ghost are on the run from Punisher. After, you know, Punisher beats them but doesn't kill Zemo, and Kingpin comes and he kind of is like, you're still alive, and look at all this chaos you've caused. You've like had people fighting in the streets, and you've destroyed everything. And then Kingpin basically has Ghost kill Zemo. So Ghost like dissolves Zemo there on the rooftop and then like runs away. And then at this point, Nick Fury Jr. and like who is it? Luke Cage and the Winter Soldier and I think Quake, a bunch of superheroes come in to stop Punisher from killing the mayor Kingpin character. And he throws Punisher throws a sword that Luke Cage blocks, but Black Widow blasts him and he falls off the tower. And they're like, oh, we can't find his body. I guess we're dead. So the end of it is that Fury thinks Black Widow was helping Punisher, which she was. But they're like, the Punisher's still out there, never to be seen again. And on that note, I should say, Punisher Soviet was apparently published. It just isn't in Marvel Unlimited. So I did check that and I was wrong.
Oh, okay. Is it because it's too recent, or
it might be because it's too violent. It's by Garth Ennis, the same guy who did that Ghost Rider story we wrote and the Preacher comics. So yeah, they might have just decided it's too much and they don't want people to have it.
Interesting.
So you think we're going to have an interesting discussion about this? Let's get it. Let's go, Jay. What do you think?
So I thought there were multiple scenes in here that I thought were interesting. So, for example, the scene where he gets pissed off at the cops that have the Punisher logo on their car.
Absolutely. And this scene is very, it's brought up. I've seen it several times on the internet.
Right.
Where basically Punisher has just like killed a man and he's covered in blood and he's walking down the street. And the cops, you know, pull him over, see he's covered in blood. And when he raises his hands, you see the Punisher symbol. And they're like, oh, my God, the guys in the group are going to be so excited that we saw you. And they show him that, right, they have a Punisher sticker on their squad car. And they're like, you know, there's a group of us that believe in you. And he gets really upset. He, like, tears up their – first of all, he tears up a vinyl sticker on a car with his bare hands with gloves on. And I was like, yeah, that's very unbelievable. But, you know, he basically tells them, if I find out you're imitating me, I'm going to come and kill you. If you want to admire someone, Captain America would appreciate it, right? And that's actually a pretty cool, like, I think it's a reference. Captain America was a police officer for a while when he stopped being Captain America. And he has, like, connections to police in the comics. So, like, he would be a really good superhero for cops to admire. And, you know, this is a reference to the fact that police have been putting Punisher logos, like, on their cars and wearing them and presenting them. And it's I actually saw a squad car in Houston that had a Punisher logo on the car.
Holy cow.
And I'm like, it's troublesome. I think that's a really bad symbol for you to associate with your, like, people who are supposed to protect and serve, and like the idea of like a character who murders people who are bad being someone that like our law keepers admire is very troublesome. Now, in its defense, right, the Punisher logo for the last, I don't know, decade, two decades, it's a tough guy symbol, right? Like,
right,
it's,
yeah.
It's not necessarily the cop saying, I like to murder criminals, but it's definitely them saying, I'm okay with this being on my official vehicle or squad car, or I'm okay as a police officer being identified with this. I don't know how I feel about it.
Right.
Like, I'm not okay with it. I think, and I'm glad that, and I do think this is the writers and the creators of this responding to that movement with police. And another one is that, the creator of the Punisher has come out and said he's not okay with cops doing it.
He also, he's the creator of the Punisher, made a bunch of like Punisher Black Lives Matter merchandise.
Yes, he did. It's called awesome. Skulls for Justice, which yeah. I thought was really dope. And like, the one I like is it's the Punisher skull, but it's also a Black Lives Matter fist. And I thought that was really clever.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I had heard someone say this, and maybe even you said this, Greg. But I wanted to, I guess, bring it up again and see if you agreed with it or what you thought of it. So, like, the character of Captain America, he is a character that kind of grows out of World War II and also is kind of an extension of how America sees itself at that time. Mm-hmm. And then the Punisher is more a character that grows out of Vietnam.
I think he might have been in the Korean War.
Okay.
But then they changed it to Vietnam.
Okay.
And then I think currently they even changed it to be... So Marvel has created this like idea of a rubber band, and one of the ways they did it is by saying that like Tony Stark and Captain America were in imaginary conflicts. But I think, yeah, he does have a lot of Vietnam associated.
Okay. So, and obviously the way that, like, America responded to and viewed itself with, like, World War II and Vietnam were very different. Just very different.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of shows why those two characters are so different from each other. But, and I guess, do you think that I guess that characterization is fair or accurate?
I think it definitely is part of the major difference between them. I'm not sure if it's the origin of the difference between the characters or mm-hmm. if it's like because they just wanted to show that. I definitely can see the like idea of having Punisher because Punisher is a controversial character, right? In the Marvel universe and kind of out of it. The idea of having a comic book where a guy just murders bad guys, right? Like some people are not okay with that, and that's fine, that's appropriate, right? Like I think
is there this is I guess maybe showing my ignorance a little bit with him, but does he have any type of superpowers other than being willing to kill people?
Yeah, he doesn't have any superpowers. He was a Marine, basically right. Just a highly trained Marine. And I think he was like almost unemployed. Like his origin is just that his family was killed in the crossfire, of a, like a gang war after he came back. And his wife and young child were killed, and that completely changed him. And he had no inhibitions, and he made it his personal. He views himself as being part of a war, right? So he sees it as a war on bad guys. And I do like how he kind of mentions like I determine who the bad guys are. In the first issue we read in issue 12, kind of like yeah, that is all he goes off of, right? He doesn't have hard and fast rules.
And it is, it's interesting. / illuminating, like in this story where the Hydra agents help him escape the planet and he still kills them. And, you know, one of the Hydra agents is like, well, how could you do that? They helped you. And he's like, well, they were still bad people. And so, of course, I was going to.
Yeah, I think he said it's like it's stupid of them to help him. Like they should have known better.
Right. Which is, I don't know, like, it's just it almost feels like it's not Marvel to have a character that is like the Punisher.
I don't know. I think it, so Punisher was originally a villain, right? Like, he was okay. a villain who tried to kill Spider-Man.
Okay.
And, I mean, same with Wolverine, right? Wolverine was originally a Hulk villain. And I think that the idea of having these anti-heroes that were villains at first and presented as such helps kind of frame and helps them make a little bit more sense. I mean, I've been reading comics for so long that this doesn't feel bad at all. It doesn't feel off, right? Like, the Marvel Universe has Dracula and, you know, ancient magic and ancient gods and, mm-hmm. you know, like space aliens. So a guy who just murders bad guys left and right just feels like, oh, it's always, he's always been a part of it. And I think there are definitely heroes who have killed people inadvertently or accidentally, like, you know, like Daredevil and like in the last comic we read, right? Where it's, I think it's Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage are right, all yeah, like, yeah, we've all killed people before. You just don't try to kill people.
Right.
So what's the like leap, right, that a character can take to go from we don't try to kill people, but it happens, to I'm going to kill people because it's the best solution
right.
to bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think honestly, so like I said, there were scenes that I thought were very interesting in this. I think my biggest issue that I had with the arc is that I personally don't find the Punisher to be a compelling character, because he's not someone that I can relate to at all, or that like I share a worldview with.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you relate to the Punisher, you should be worried about yourself. But again, so, right?
But then, why are you reading these comics then?
I think a worldview where everything can be solved so easily and quickly, I can understand the appeal of it being like, you know, it would be a lot easier if there were just bad guys that need to die and people could easily kill them. I get the appeal of that idea. I think that the Punisher as a character by himself is not very appealing. It's more the situations he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked him in that one issue of Daredevil where, where he's used as a Daredevil needs to reject the Punisher because he accidentally killed someone. And the idea of the Punisher being like, I see that you finally seen the light that murdering guys is good. And I love that. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But that feels a lot different than like the arc that we just read.
Yeah. Well, so I also like the idea of like, so in Civil War, Captain America recruits the Punisher as well, because he's like, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and we're gonna risk the Punisher being with us as long as he, you know, does the right thing. And then this one is kind of a, right, Black Widow is definitely a character who's okay with killing people, even though she doesn't use that as her first choice. And she kind of gets together this team of like-minded characters to help Punisher to get rid of the evil in New York City at that moment, right? I kind of like it because Frank is almost like the troublemaker here, where the easiest solution would be Frank leaves, right, and just stops what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then they can get rid of the Hydra guys and send them back to Begalia. I think you have to use him well, right? Because a story of him just murdering guys because he loves it and he's going to make the world a better place, I think he's a little bit harder to write.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing is, there's the problem that, like, the Punisher is never going to change his worldview.
Right.
Like, part of his character is that he is like incredibly unyielding. And you know, I can see why people might see that as a strength of the character.
Right.
But I think it makes it a lot harder to write him.
Yeah.
Cause like, you can't allow him to show weakness to a bad guy. You can't, well, it's, he's, I would imagine he's a hard character to write. He is difficult to use in conjunction with like a lot of other characters, but at the same time, right, if you want to show a story where like Spider-Man's ethics are tempted, maybe put him in a story with Punisher where Spider-Man really wants to let the Punisher kill someone or I don't know, like maybe the X-Men are hunting the Punisher because they think he did something. I think he's an interesting character for who he is. But I'm glad that we didn't read like a comic where the Punisher is by himself, because I think then you just have a very predictable character.
And I guess the last thing I'll say on it, and then we can move on, or well, I mean, you can respond if you want to. I don't want it to feel like I'm getting the last word or whatever. Is just that, like, so again, not to get too political again on this, but in a way he does kind of bring up political or philosophical questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just have like a much more pacifistic worldview than this. And also there's a part of me that is just like really kind of tired of like, well, you know, me and my gun, we're going to solve all the problems in the world. And which is just like completely divergent from my worldview. So
can we compare this to Watchmen for a second, though? Because
sure, yeah.
The plot of Watchmen is I'm going to do a horrific act of violence to change everybody's worldview and to like change things, to change the world. And the Punisher also thinks he's doing something similar where, like, if I kill enough bad guys openly and I turn myself into a symbol, bad guys will be afraid to be bad guys. And Daredevil had a similar view where he thought, you know, he said something about, like, if people see me running the streets, they're going to think twice before they steal from the till at work, kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think it's just the presentation of, like, the tone of the hyperviolence.
Might be true, too. There's also, and I guess, again, I'm not as much of a Punisher aficionado, I guess. But, like, I guess kind of my assumption or belief with him wasn't so much, I'm going to kill these people and that's going to deter other people, but it was more, I'm going to exact revenge, or I'm going to bring punishment to these people that the broken system can't bring,
mm-hmm.
or won't bring.
Okay, that's fair. And there is, like, Ozymandias has a very different worldview than the Punisher. I mean, also, right, like, Ozymandias doesn't stab people and, like, twist the knife. Like, there is a difference to how it's presented. I just think they're comparable, right? Like, the idea of...
My brain break a little bit. Me trying to process comparing Ozymandias and the Punisher.
But it is an interesting discussion. Both of them view mass death and destruction as a path to lowering suffering of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also a pacifist, or have pretty pacifist viewpoints, but I still can say it's an interesting thing to read, right? Just like I can read Catcher in the Rye and be like, oh my god, how the fuck did I think this was a good book when I was a kid? No. It's like, you read it now and you're just like, what the hell, Holden?
Okay, well, I guess my next question for you is, what did you end up thinking about the art in this comic?
It was fine. It was much darker than... I mean, it was about as dark as I hoped for. It had a little bit of a, like, sketchy style, where sometimes faces would have, like, very little detail. And that was problematic, because sometimes there were a lot of scenes where two characters would have their faces close to each other, and you would have to go by the haircut, or the mask that Zemo's wearing, or... you know, Black Widow's haircut. Like, but I do think it's not a good sign that, right, like, Black Widow and Frank Castle's, like, facial features looked relatively similar sometimes, except for the face they're making. I think when it was, like, doing, like, when he was breaking through a window or shooting a chain gun next to Ghost Rider, it looks a lot better than when two characters are talking to each other. I don't love the art.
Yeah, I would say that I wasn't a huge fan of the art. There were some of the drawings of Kingpin, I thought, were a little bit weak.
He looks fatter than he usually does in comics. I thought that was a little funny.
Yeah, I thought that there were several of the panels of the Punisher that looked like middle-aged Steven Seagal, who had gone to seed, and...
Am I wrong? Doesn't help. The hair, like, his hairstyle in here doesn't help, where he's got the, like...
The ponytail or whatever?
The greased back, like, hair that comes undone in action scenes. No, that's so Steven Seagal. You're right. Okay, so we've talked a little bit. Jay, have you seen any of the like Punisher movies or TV shows?
I think I've seen the movie.
Which one?
I'm not sure.
Does his family die at a beach party?
Maybe.
Never mind.
I don't remember much about it.
I'm trying to find out if you could compare TV Punisher to comic Punisher.
Okay.
Because I do know some people really like the way he's presented in the TV shows, and
okay,
then they're less sold on the comic one. And I think that's an interesting thing that a lot of the time, like, I think the Netflix Punisher is much better than the comic Punisher. Like the whole, you know, they did a whole like court case where they talked about his mental fitness, and he showed basically that he is definitely not fit to be in trial.
Okay.
They did a much better job with the Punisher like Netflix series of me being like, I can kind of understand this character better than in a lot of the comics he's presented. So, although there is the like, yeah, the John Travolta Punisher movie is just real bad. it's laughably bad sometimes if you rewatch it.
Okay, well, we are getting to the end of this episode. I guess real quick, I've given you a fair bit of my thoughts on this one. What were the things that you liked the best, and what were the things that maybe didn't work as well for you, if any?
I think the parts that worked the best for me were a lot of the big. So a lot of it was how goofy Zemo is presented. I thought it was kind of. It was funny. It reminded me of G.I. Joe comics, where he's constantly pushing it. And I appreciate that he fucking dies in the end as a result of it. So it's like, haha! There's a problem just in that I don't like the Punisher as much in this comic as I have in previous ones. I think he's just, I don't know, there's just something about brooding asshole that makes him not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I did appreciate that they kind of brought back Rachel to give him a heartstring to tug. So that was nice too.
Yeah, I guess I would say that one of the other scenes that that I had mentioned how I liked several scenes in it. Another one that I liked a lot was the one where Moon Knight and the Punisher are reuniting and seeing each other again for a while was really good. So I guess some of my favorite points were some of the individual scenes like that I thought were quite good. Kind of what you had mentioned, it seemed like he was most successful or most entertaining when him and the other characters were kind of playing off of each other. So,
did you like any of the supporting team that he had? I liked that he had no idea who Night Thrasher was.
Yeah, I didn't either.
That's
so.
Most readers. Night Thrasher was introduced in the 90s as like, you know, he's a black skateboarding teenager who fights crime with his sticks and skateboard. He's not a bad character. He's just like silly. Like it's funny that he exists sometimes, and like he's almost a joke here.
So I'm not sure if we have discussed this, Greg, but do we know our comic for next episode?
Are we doing Green Goblin, Jay?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. So we're gonna read New Ways to Die for Green Goblin. We're going to read issue 568 to 573. So we're going to start at 568. We're going to read the whole New Ways to Die. So that's 6 issues.
Awesome. Okay.
Get to see Green Goblin go up against Spider-Man. It's pretty good.
Well, as always, subscribe on Patreon so that you can hear our bonus episode. And
like and subscribe. Smash that bell.
smash that, yeah, that subscribe button. And buy all your stuff from Discount Games Inc. Throw your stimulus check at the computer screen and just buy. It's the patriotic thing to do. And
I just ordered some Monpok for you, from you, Jay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say last week was a little bit crazy because the stimulus checks hit the same time as the Time Spiral boxes for Magic and the Battle Styles boxes for the Pokemans.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That must have been really awful for your employees.
I think
Jay's sitting in the back like Kingpin. Ha ha ha!
Yes, exactly. If only my physique looked a little bit less like Kingpin.
Hey man, Kingpin is jacked.
I mean, is he?
And he's smooth as a baby. That's gotta be someone's thing, right?
It's gotta be, yeah.
I like my ladies hairy. That's the worst joke I've ever delivered. I'm sorry.